ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين All praises are for Allah Allah Azza wa Jal Allah the mighty one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our creator Allah our nourisher Allah, our sustainer. We thank Allah as Muslims and believers for the great favor that He has bestowed upon us today, that Allah, through His kindness and His compassion, has given you and I and afforded us the ability to present Him ourselves in His beautiful house again, to fulfill this duty which has been placed upon us every Friday. And the duty, it is so important for us to fulfill that Allah has clearly revealed a whole surah called Surah Al-Jum'ah to tell us about our duty on the day of Jum'ah. And with the imperative tense, with the commanded tone, He announces to all of us, إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمَعَةِ When the call is made on the day of Jum'ah, فَصَعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْءِ Hasten towards the call and remembrance of Allah and leave every single thing that you are occupied in. The trade which He has made halal, the Quran says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا Allah has made trade halal, but He says at this time that same trade becomes haram. That same thing becomes haram. This is a duty which Allah has placed upon us. And we thank Allah every moment that He affords us the ability and He puts the strength in our bodies and He puts the thought in our hearts. And He gives us the tawfiq and the ability to go towards any good. We thank Allah for that ability. Because if we do not do that which is good, then we will be penalized by Allah on the day of judgment. So we can do only that which Allah gives us the tawfiq and the ability to do. The heart, it thinks about a thing. And the heart orders the body to move. The controller of the heart is no one but Allah. Allah puts a good thought in the heart. The limbs hasten to the good action. A good thought does not come in the heart. The limbs cannot do any good action. So this is why every time we are able to fulfill whatever Allah has placed upon us, then as devout servants of Allah and people who are humble to Allah, we must as Muslims always thank Allah and show appreciation and acknowledge that which Allah has given us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this perfect and complete way of life that makes us understand what we have to do. It makes us understand that we have to account to Allah. It makes us understand that life is not only about this world. It makes us understand that enjoyment is not only about this world. It makes us understand that living is not limited to this world, but it makes us understand that there is a whole new world we have to enter. And whatever we do here, we have to answer about that to Allah. It is this religion and deen of Islam which Allah has given to us that makes us become mindful and makes us become concerned about the matters of the things that are connected to the life after death. If we have not been given this way, then Allah says in the Quran, we will be living like animals. Eat today for today, enjoy. Live today for today, enjoy. And there is no sense of what is coming next. That is the behavior of the animals. This is why those people who turn against the way that Allah has given, and who turn away from the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who turn away from the path of truth in accepting Allah, in believing in the hereafter, in believing that a man has to stand before Allah, those people who go against these things, Allah says in the Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ كَلَعْنَعَامٍ, they are like animals. أُولَٰئِكَ كَلَعْنَعَامٍ, they are like animals. Allah says, no, they are not only like animals, بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ, but they are even worse than animal. An animal will always acknowledge that it has a master. An animal will obey the master. The animal will do whatever the master says to do. The animal will not turn away on the master. But these people turn away from their master Allah. These people reject their master Allah. These people are disobedient to their master who is Allah. So they are even worse than animals, Allah says in the Quran. So Allah has blessed us with a deen that He Himself has given such a lofty position to, and such a deen that He has given such an honor to. He has made it so respected. He has made it so respectable that those who follow the religion of Islam, they themselves gain that respect which Allah has placed in Islam. And Allah has shown us how He has continued to bless Islam with that great honor and that great rank and that great and lofty position. And you and I are able to see that because we live at a time where we can look back through the pages of history and see what Islam was, what Islam became, what it was once upon a time, what was the state of the companions, what was the state of the Muslims, and we are able to look at the state of what they also became. We are able to do that. And when we look at the lives of the early Muslims, the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and we look at the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we see poverty, we see want, we see starvation, we see people having no homes to live in, we see people having no clothing to cover themselves. In fact, Imam Bukhari has narrated so many chapters that shows the permissibility of wrapping oneself with one sheet of cloth and tying it on the nape. Tying it on the nape. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala once performed salat in that. He had one sheet of cloth. He took the sheet of cloth and he tied it behind his nape. Just like if you have a sheet and you tie it like that. A person saw him. He said, Jabir, you are performing salat like that? Is it permissible like that? He said, I have done it so that foolish people like yourself will see me. He said, which one of us had two pieces of cloth during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The most we had to cover ourselves was one piece. And that one piece could have been big. It could have been moderate and it could have been small. Imam Bukhari shows the hadith where he tells us that if it is short, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one piece of cloth which is short, use it as a lungi, as the part to cover the lower part of the body, from the navel to the knees. It's short, you can't do anything, so the top of the body will be exposed. If you have a large piece of cloth, you can wrap it around yourself comfortably. And if you have a moderate piece that you fear that if you put it on yourself, on the upper body, it will fall off, then it is permissible to take the edges of the garment, put it on opposing ends behind the nape and tie it there, like how people will normally wear it when they are baking, etc. That is how they will perform salat. What they had? One garment. Rightly, as Jabir says, I want to show people like you who are so foolish, which one of us had two pieces of cloth? Which one? So therefore, this was the state of poverty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I remember the whole month had passed us and me and Bilal had nothing in our home state. Bilal used to be the khadim of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala once said, a new moon will come, a new moon will come again, and another new moon will come, three new moons will come, showing 3 months will come, and the only thing in the house of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was aswadani, the two black things. The water was black and the date was black. And at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 9 homes to look after. And that is what he had. And it is with that poverty, it is with that want, and it is with that starvation, they, the humble sahabas, never looked for anything material, never looked for anything worldly, but all they looked towards was the help from Allah and the mercy of Allah. And with that in their hearts, they believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they went along with every single thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them. If they used to do something which brought an income for them before, but the Rasul said that is haram, they will leave it and will not ask a question. A Sahabi purchased a red garment. He did not know the ruling about it. He wore it and he came in the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked towards him and then turned his face. The other companions told him that as soon as the Rasul saw you, he turned his face on the other side. He said, it seems that the Rasul is displeased with what I am wearing. He went home and he took it out and he burnt it. And he came back and he said, the Prophet of Allah had destroyed it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you could have given it to one of the women folk in your house. It's not befitting for males to wear that color. He said, O Prophet of Allah, after you had shown your displeasure for what I'm wearing, how can I bear to see with my own eyes that which caused your displeasure? I got rid of it. So they were so attached to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they will trade in something and afterwards the messenger said that is wrong, that is haram, that is interest, they left every single thing just like that. They were not bothered about any worldly loss as long as they got the hereafter gains. That was their goal and their objective. And in this manner they continued. The odds were against them. Their family members turned against them. The neighboring tribes turned against them. Their uncles and their aunts turned them out. And they had to go in a place and remain for 3 years, which is known as the boycott. That no one wanted to have anything to do with them. A public notice was written and placed on the Kaaba. From now on, no one should speak to Muhammad and his companions. No one should marry them. No one can buy from them. No one can give them. No one can loan to them. No one can even speak to them. Leave them alone in the valley of Abi Talib in the boycott state. 3 years passed. Children died out of starvation. They died out of hunger, they died out of thirst. All the people, they became weak and feeble, nothing to eat, but no one wanted had to do anything with them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went through that. And as soon as they came out from the 3 year boycott, because of the starvation and the poverty and the difficulties they had to pass through in that state, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his two pillars of support in this world. One was Khadija and the one was Abu Talib, his own uncle. They could not stand that which they had to go through. They came out. With all of that, the Sahabas never gave up. They never ever said to the Prophet, this religion is too hard. Look, we are losing everything. Let's go back. They said, no, let's do and we will be with you. We will support. And it is through the humble beginning and during the course of this humble beginning, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, when they were going through so many different things, it is in this state Allah was giving them promises. Huh? Allah was giving them promises. So they were starved, but Allah is saying to them, one day you will have. They had nothing. Allah says, one day you will have a home. They could not even have a meal to eat. Allah says, one day you will own countries upon countries. And they are just hearing this. It's like a man has nothing. He has a small little shack and he's living in one bedroom. That one bedroom is his bedroom, the living room, the porch, the dining room, everything. And every day you pass it, one day you will be a king. One day you will have everything. You will look at that person and smile. You say, what are you speaking? Why are you making joke? Allah reveals such promises to those people. Allah reveals such promises. In one ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to them. The Quran says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Allah has made a promise to those people who believe in Him. From amongst you, Allah said. From amongst you, those people who believe in Him and those people who do righteous actions, Allah has made a promise to them. لَا يَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah will make them successors of the earth. Allah will make them leaders of the earth. Allah will make them rulers of the earth. Allah will make them governors and vicegerents of the earth. And look at their state. Look what they are going through. لَا يَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah will make them khalifa on the earth. كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Just as Allah made those people before them successors. He made them rulers. He made them leaders. Allah is saying to them, O Sahabas, O followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, forbear, persevere and have sabr. Insha'Allah, the land will be yours. The same land that they are kicking you out of, you will own that. The same property they have stolen away from you, you will own that. You don't worry, Allah is saying that. So that's one promise Allah gave to them. The promise that Allah will make them the rulers of the different land. And then the other promise, وَلَا يُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. And Allah will make the deen, their deen and their religion, which Allah is pleased with for them, Allah will make that deen and religion established. Subhanallah. Second promise. The first promise, Allah says, you are going through so many difficulties. But it won't last for long. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Certainly with every hardship there is ease. And ease will come. But the ease will only come with sabr, with patience, with forbearance. Sickness may not last forever. Poverty will not last forever. Hardships will not last forever. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Allah says, my servants, you may be going through a difficult period now, but I promise you that will not last forever. It will go away. Goodness will come after. So Allah says, you will become the rulers of this land. And I will establish the deen which you are following and the deen that I love for you. That's the second promise. And the third promise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. And Allah will change their fear into peace and security. The fear that they have in their hearts for others. The fear that this one will do this to them and the others will do this to them. And they will lose this and they will lose their lives and they will lose everything. Allah will change that fear into peace, into security, into ease, into calmness, in tranquility. That's the third promise. And so, although it took a matter of years, these promises that Allah made, it did come to pass in the very life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in many different ways, Allah continued to show them, just giving them the hope to go along, giving them the hope to live on, given them the hope to be patient. So sometimes in this life, a Muslim goes through difficulties. He goes through difficulties. He's doing everything good that he knows about, but still it's difficult. But Allah gives him hope to live. You don't worry, I'll give you Jannah. You don't worry, I'll give you paradise. You don't worry, I'll give you this. I'll give you a big, beautiful palace in paradise. There is hope to live on. There is hope to carry on. There is hope that will make us do the good things that we will never give up. There is hope. And Allah was giving them hope because they needed that, because that was the first community of the Muslims that Allah needed to establish Islam, and thereafter the others will come and carry on. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed so much for the success of the Sahabas. In the Battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam formed the lines, and he went into his tent, and he went in sujood and prostration, and he was crying before Allah, saying, "Oh Allah, the only people who believe in you today, it is this small group that I have with me. Oh Allah, if this small group is punished, if they perish, and if they are destroyed today, there will be no one who will call your name. There will be no one who will believe in you, and it will be end. That will be it forever. So, oh Allah, protect them. Oh Allah, give us victory, this small band." And Allah accepted his dua. Allah accepted the dua, and Allah gave them victory. Before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from sajda, and before the battle started, Jibreel alayhi salam came with the glad tidings that Allah has promised that you will get victory today. And that is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam officially started that. So therefore, they needed that hope. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that hope, that he's promising them, "I will do this for you. You will have no fear again in your hearts, and you will become, Allah will bless you with the lands and rulership." And then on another occasion, in the Battle of Ahzab, which is also known as the Battle of the Trenches, the Khandaq, Barra bin Azib radiallahu ta'ala, Hafiz ibn Kathir has recorded in his book Siratul Nabi, he has mentioned that narration. Barra bin Azib radiallahu ta'ala said, "When we had to dig the trench to protect ourselves in Medina, we came over a huge piece of rock, and none of us, we tried so hard and we just could not break it. But we needed it to be broken so that we will clear the trench." So they complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the spade. He went into the trench. He said, "Bismillah, Bismillah." He took the spade and he knocked it onto the rock. Part of it came out. It broke apart. And according to some narrators, they say that a spark came out. And after doing that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted his head. He said, "Allahu Akbar." He said, "Allahu Akbar, Syria is mine. I swear by Allah. I swear by Allah, I can see Syria coming into the hands of the Muslims from this place that I am standing." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam struck it with another one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam struck that rock with another blow. Said, "Bismillah," he struck it again. A streak of light came. He lifted his head. He said, "Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Persia has become ours. I swear by Allah that I am seeing the white palaces of Persia coming into Islam." Subhanallah. He took the spade and he struck it with the third blow. And the rock was smashed to pieces. And he lifted his head and he said, "Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. Allah is great. Yemen has come into our arms and our hands. From here, I swear by Allah, I can see Sana'a, the city of Sana'a, coming into Islam." So from there, the battle of the trenches, the Khandaq, few Muslims still with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are always being dominated and overpowered. Struck with poverty and starvation, they are hearing, "One day we're going to rule Persia, and one day we're going to rule Syria, and one day we're going to rule Yemen." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving them the hope. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them and granted them the promises. And subhanallah, in a very short space of time, in a very, very short space of time, all the promises that Allah had made to them, it were fulfilled. All these promises. Alhamdulillah, when Islam started from a small hut, in a small little valley of Makkah, Islam moved about, and the entire Makkah fell to Islam and came into Islam. And the entire city of Medina came into Islam. And all the surrounding tribes came into Islam. And while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have started alone, before he went back to Allah, at the end of a period of 23 years, subhanallah, the entire peninsula was in Islam. And then, subhanallah, it did not stop there. All the surrounding countries, Iran came into Islam. Subhanallah, and Iraq came into Islam. And Rome came into Islam. And the African continent came into Islam. All these different places, you name them, Ardan or Jordan, and Yemen, and Syria, and all the different lands of that area, they came one by one into Islam. And it stretched to Turkey, and it stretched to Spain, and it stretched to the Asian continent. And Islam, subhanallah, ruled, because Allah says, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ, Allah will establish them as rulers on the land. And Allah did establish the Muslims as the rulers. And Allah gave them that power. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that authority. And when they were struck with starvation and poverty and with want and with need, at that time Allah promised them, they continued to do that which was good. Allah promised them at that very, very time, I will give you this, I will give you that. And everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, everything came to pass. One after the other, Islam entered into all these areas. So much so that Islam was moving to such an extent, with the grace of Allah, with the power of Allah, with the kindness and the help of Allah, that in Jerusalem, the people at that time, they were the ones who invited Khalifa Amirul Mu'minin Umar radiallahu ta'ala to come over, and they will hand to him the keys to Jerusalem. They wanted him to rule the land of Jerusalem. They wanted him to be their Amir, but they were Christians in Jerusalem at that time. Allah blessed it with such izzat and with such honor that even Heracle, or Hercules, Imam Bukhari has mentioned in his book in Kitab al-Iman, Heracle, when he went to Jerusalem during his time to make Hajj and pilgrimage, because he won the battle over Persia, over there he got the message of a prophet of the last time, that person claiming himself to be the prophet of the last time. So he asked the people, is there any group of people close by that I can ask about this man who is claiming to be a prophet? And it is stated that the caravan of Abu Sufyan, then not a Muslim, they went to Syria to buy stuff so they will sell in Medina. And he was told that there is a caravan of the Arabs. All of them were non-Muslims, but he was told that they were there, he can meet them. So he summoned them. And he said to them, he put Abu Sufyan in front of him. And he put the friends of Abu Sufyan behind Abu Sufyan. And he said to the companions of Abu Sufyan, I am going to ask this man some questions about this man Muhammad. If he lies, you tell me he's lying. And Abu Sufyan was asked a lot of questions. What is the family lineage of Muhammad? Did anybody say they were a prophet before Muhammad said he was a prophet? What does he teach? What did he preach? And after asking all the questions and getting the answers, Heracle at that time said to Abu Sufyan and all the companions who were all non-Muslims at that time, he says, I knew that a prophet would have come out at this time because he was a devout Christian who believed in the Bible. He says, but I didn't know that he was so close to me. If I know it was so easy to meet him, I will go and wash his feet out of love for him. And he said, if what you are saying is the truth, he said to Abu Sufyan, if what you are saying is the truth, then I tell you that then that man will become the ruler of this land that I am standing on, which is Jerusalem. He will become the owner of this land. And so it was said by Hiraqal, who did not believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he was convinced he was the final prophet. He was convinced that he was the final prophet. And in that state, he was convinced because he knew that that last prophet, Allah will grant him honor. Allah will grant his religion a lofty position. And this land of Jerusalem will come into his hands. And as it was said during the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and that came into Islam. And alhamdulillah, they ruled with peace and justice and with fairness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made many different promises. And the promises all came to pass. And then the opposite of that going up started to happen. And what the Muslims saw at that time was the rise. And what Muslims saw after was the decline. Everything started to go away. The aman of Allah was changed into fear. The lands were seized and snatched away from them. They were chased out of their very own land. Everything was taken away from them. And then things started to happen. And then there was the decline of the Muslims. And we are able to, just as we see the history of the climbing up, we also see the history of the falling down. And we are at this time looking back at the pages of history to see how things went up and how it is going down. We are Muslims. Islam is our deen. And while these things are taking place, our job is to reconstruct. And our job is to lend a helping and supporting hand to that deen of Allah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us. That is very, very important for us to understand. But at this point, we'll close here, and inshallah, probably we'll continue the topic at a later date.